Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavahitamastomavidvishavahai, Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so this is in connection with page 49, connection with Bhagavatam verse 10.88.5. Lord Hari, however, has no connection with the material modes. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-seeing eternal witness, who is transcendental to material nature. One who worships him becomes similarly free from the material modes. Right. So the idea is that if you're associating with Krishna, you become in the same, position of existence of Krishna, which means free from the modes. Right? It doesn't mean we become Krishna, it just means that we become on that same platform of not being affected by the modes. Therefore, focusing one's consciousness upon Lord Vishnu, the embodiment of all goodness, leads one to liberation. Such God consciousness also generates material success as a byproduct, but its proper nature is pure spiritual ecstasy. So that's the actual, means by focusing on Vishnu, one becomes liberated. Why do you become liberated? Because focusing on Vishnu means doing things in connection with Vishnu. Right? And so then, by doing that, you're doing these works connected with him. That means it's not connected with ourselves. And as soon as you're doing that, that brings you to the liberated platform. Right? The position of Naishkan. Does that make sense? But even if you're just focusing on him, like we see Hiranyakashipu and the demons, so in enmity, just they're focusing on the Lord who is transcendental to the modes, one attains that same quality. Right? So for the devotees, then how much more effective is that they're doing it to please Krishna? Right? So not only you become liberated, but you become situated in transcendental loving service. Because that's actually the point of devotional service, is to become situated in devotional service, not to become liberated. So we see, becoming liberated and material success, they're just byproducts. Right? Now, material success, what is material success? Material success simply means when you deal with the Lord's energy, the transformation of the energy comes out to be greater than what you started with. Right? That's profit, right? You start out with 10 rupees and you end up with 20. That's profit. You start out with 10, you end up with minus 10. That's a problem. You understand? So anything pious will gain profit. Right? Anything impious will create loss. Right? So it just means you deal with the energy properly, it will expand. Right? Krishna's energies are always expanding. That's their nature. So therefore, the expansion of the nature is its natural position, but you still have to deal with it properly. It is energy. Right? Yes?
It seems that the demons are very profitable.
Yes.
In modern times, in previous times, you would say there was some element of piety in the sense of knowing the rules and respecting the rules.
Yes.
But nowadays, that's questionable. But still they seem to be
profiting. But, yes, I mean you have, that has a double aspect. One is that for them to be getting any profit now means they've done the piety previously to deserve it, because what you get now is based on what you've done before. So we can say, as those who are making profit, they were pious previously. Because you generally see it's not everybody who's actually profiting. Generally those with, you would say, more good qualities. Not necessarily that they're consistent in the use of their good qualities, but they can use good qualities. Right? You know, the aristocratic people, the wealthy people, the power, they can use them if they want. Right? While, let's say, the more common person, he'll think that that's artificial. And for them, it is artificial because they don't have the quality. You know, so just being honest about you don't, that you're a rat bag, then that's considered, you know, the quality amongst themselves. But the others, they actually have those qualities, but the problem is that they don't necessarily use them for, you know, properly. You know what I'm saying? For what they're actually meant for elevating the human being. But they know when to act nicely, when not to say something, when not to get angry, when to be tolerant, when to be humble. They know how to do that. And so that's why then they get things. So that means, so that brings us to that secondary, is that they have the good qualities left from before, they have the piety, but in the mechanics of what's going on, they're dealing in the present. The person who makes no profit is always dealing in the future or past. That's why they make no profit, because you can't deal with energy and be in the future or past. You have to be present. Right? So they are dealing in the present, and they're connecting what they're doing in the present to what should be the result in the future. So that means there's no attachment to what's going on at the time of doing it. They may have attachment to the result, but not to the process. So that means they're acting in the mode of goodness. Right? Their intent's not the mode of goodness, it'll be passion or ignorance, but at least mechanically they're functioning in goodness. While the person who's not successful is never functioning in goodness. It's a rare thing, it might happen, and then it's like, whoa, wow, it's happening today. It's kind of like, I have nothing to do with it, it's just happening, you know? You know, that saying, when you're hot, you're hot. You know, that just means it's happening, I don't know why. Because somehow or another, by karma, you're acting in the mode of goodness, so it's working. So by these two, is on the niti platform, they're functioning in goodness, so that's actually pious. But the areas that they're functioning in, whether they should be functioning there or not, that's not necessarily correct. So that's impious. That's why we see is that their position of piety is not necessarily sustainable. You know, it's before you heard about these rich families and they just go on for generations. Now it's people make their profits and lose them. You know, if somebody's rich now and in 10 years he's not, we just say that's pretty standard. But before, as they would make their money, they would keep it their lifetime, their children, their grandchild would lose them. You know, so it's the piety was greater. Nowadays, what you see is it's more flickering. So if you take it across the board, yes, there's always a Forbes 500, but is it the same 500 every year? You know, well, if you go back in time, if you had that same thing, you would probably see the list was mainly the same people. But now it'll be constantly changing. You know, the richest man, you know, changes every day. You know, the top five guys, today this guy's the richest, tomorrow the other guy's the richest. It just keeps, it's not stable. Does that make sense? But in generically, you can say, yes, there are there are rich people. But it's not necessarily that it's being maintained. That's the thing. That's the problem because of the piety. Now, devotion. So the point we're making is that Krishna's energy, you deal with it properly, you will always make profit. But that means means devotionally you're acting on the top, that you're performing the activity for Krishna. Now, so that's always going to get profit. But now, so devotionally it'll be profit, and in the long run there'll be profit. But if it's the duties you're supposed to be doing and you're paying attention to the moment they're being done, if you're actually focusing and mechanically performing the activity properly, then you can say on all three levels there's profit. So devotional service on the pure platform means you are doing it to please Krishna, you're doing it because that's your duty, and you're focused and paying attention. That's why you say, therefore, focusing one's consciousness. So they're focused. That means they have the knowledge, they have the skill, they're applying it. Right? Is that just 1 second. So that means that all three levels are being carried out by someone on the platform of pure, on pure devotion. Does that make sense? According to their level. Does that make sense? Someone who's a mixed devotion, they may or may not. That's why they get mixed results. The pure devotion always gets great results. But it's a side effect. So the devotee's not worried about it. That's why he gets it. If you want it, then you can't have it. That's the law. You don't want it, you can have it. You want it, then it's a problem. Does that make sense? You know, it's like the carrot in front of the donkey. He wants it. Will he ever get that carrot? No. But he's not worried about it. When it comes time in the evening to get fed, then food will just happen. So, does that make sense? So it's a byproduct. So that's important to understand, is that this whole concept of social economic development, the only actual discussion is pure devotional service. Because if you're not acting on pure devotional service, then we have to look back. If you were a karmi, never joined this movement, where would you be socially situated? There's what you might think you would be, then there's the reality. So basically, look at your parents and whatever they were doing, that's how you're going to go by. If they were middle class, you'd generally be middle class. They're lower middle class, you'd be lower. They were upper middle class, they'll be that. You know what I'm saying? There might be some difference because you're, an individual soul. But the idea is the opulence and that the devotees have is because of devotional service. So it's technically way more than... It's way more than you would get on the material platform. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Hence the cliche of leaving the movement and ending up pumping petrol. Yeah. Yes.
2 points. Thank you. Number one, prosperity religion is very popular.
Yes.
And
that's why the focus now is on community. It's not about community, how to train them to be pure devotees. It's about community makes profit.
And so we can get sidetracked and caught up in that, and that can do it kind of a marketing tool to kind of rally the crowd.
Yeah.
And the point that ties into that is that when people look at the Vaishnava culture, they say, well, your greatest heroes and role models, they kind of lost it from a material perspective, meaning they went through so much struggle, hardship, destruction, failure. Even it says if you become dear to the Lord, you'll take it all away. So,
but who studies to that much that they could say that?
When I look at the
but which karmi could say that? You know what I'm saying? So who's saying that? We have to be careful. So who's saying that might be someone who's been in the movement 30, 40 years, and now due to sour grapes, then they're making these comments.
So even like Hindus, people who read, they know about Mahabharata.
But how many people know? That's what I'm saying. You go to Butter Bazaar and the standard Fat Marwari sitting there, he makes crores, but he wouldn't be able to say that. You know what I'm saying? Is we have to understand is that we can't project so much. It's like the principle of what was his name? Richelieu, the French cardinal. Richelieu. Okay, he made the comment that fighting with an imaginary opponent, it has two interesting aspects. One is he's so skilled, but at the same time he's so easily defeated. So we have to be very, very careful about projecting that concept of those people, because personally, how many of those have you met? You know what I'm saying? And that's you who is thoughtful and studious like that. So therefore, one is you could appreciate such a person and they would talk to you about this. And then how many persons have you met that are actually really thoughtful? So that means maybe you and a handful of devotees in the movement over the last 50 years have maybe come across two or three people like that. So what I'm saying is that we can say that for ourselves. We may be thinking this, because that's more the reality. The karmis wouldn't know how to think. The devotees thinking that I, you know, need material facility, how to gain that. That's why the points are made about worshiping demigods and things like this. So our demigods may not be, you know, Indra and Varuna and all that, but, you know, guys with bald heads, guys in wheelchairs, guys with many hats, you know, all these kind of things, these are our demigods. And they go out and you walk into the self-help section and there's tons of these demigods. And so devotees turn to these demigods for quick results. But that's why the point being made, Krishna's making the point constantly. Like yesterday, the Govardhan Puja. They're not the ones that give it. Krishna's sanctioning it anyway. So what we have to remember is energy is energy. And energy will deal with you in two ways. One is if it's in connection with Krishna, then, of course, then they'll be profitable and any mistakes will be seen in a light perspective. It won't be taken seriously. If you're trying to go out and be successful without Krishna, then she's extremely strict. She's the most serious taskmaster. So as soon as you try to deal with her not connected to Krishna, then if you don't get it exactly right, you don't get anything. And so this idea that devotees will have to turn to these material methods, how many have the karma to actually do it? Because if you're not working on pure devotion, they're working on their own karma. How many devotees are that successful? If we look at it, artha, artarthi, jigyasu, they're failures. Right? The jnani, okay, there's something there. But when we're talking here, as you're talking about the material profit and all that, so that will be in money, in knowledge, and in emotion. Right? So, you know, basically body-mind words like this. So, what capacity do they have? You know what I'm saying? Prabhupada was expecting us to be the leaders of the movement, to be Bhaktivedantas by 1975. How many do we have? You know what I'm saying? How many care? You get together 1,000 devotees at the festival, leaders of the movement, do they ever discuss philosophy, culture, Vaishnav, you know, etiquette, you know, cultural revolution that Bhagavatam says is how we'll take over the world? No, they're discussing management. Does Bhagavatam ever says that by management, you know, that'll take over the world? No. So that's the whole point, is you don't need, if they do have a manager, they need one. One administrator can organize everybody else. You don't need 1,000. Right? So 1,000 you need devotees. And then if anybody can manage, great. But the managers already know how to manage. You can refine it, but having a meeting, you will not turn someone who doesn't know how to manage into a manager. So that's what we're saying, is that Varnashram is given because one does have a nature. One likes it, one doesn't like it, appreciates it, not knows it or not, that doesn't matter. That's what it is. You know, you see with your eyes, you hear with your ears, you smell with your nose. It's just the way it is. You like it, don't like it, it doesn't matter. So, therefore, this concept of the profit and loss, that will be seen by practicing devotees that have been there for a while, where they take up very seriously with the kind of idyllic aspect. But then when they start to see the practicalness of it, applying it, then they start focusing on that secondary practical. the focus on the liberation and the material success. But the only way to maintain is that you're supposed to be focusing on pure devotion. In the beginning, it's a concept, but then it has to be reality. And if you're focusing on pure devotion, means freedom from karma and jnana, then you can get the effects of karma and jnana. But if you're actually going to try for karma and jnana, then as we said, Maya, being a strict taskmaster, you do it right, you get it. You know, it's just like, karmis work 8 hours a day. Like that. How many of the community that are not having a karmi job, when they're involved with devotional service, put in 8 solid hours, 5 days a week? No, it's constantly, oh, you got to do this, you got to go to the dentist and that, and I wasn't feeling well, wow, the wife was upset and this and that. It's just like, you know, if you can get 4 hours, you're doing great. You know, most of the, you know, you get maybe an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours in the morning during the program. But how many are doing like puja or some other kind of thing like that? So in reality is, what does anybody want? If somebody had a part-time job that they occasionally applied, you know, how much would they make? Right? They wouldn't be making that much money. And so that's how much, if you want to look at it from the material platform, that's how much profit that they deserve. And if they're, and if they want more than that, then they got to be realistic and work. Point is you want profit, there must be transformation of the material energy. That only comes by work. Nothing transforms without work. So if you're not willing to put, again, that's why focus is used. Focus means you have the knowledge, you have the right attitude, you know what to do, you know what the goal, you know all the aspects, and you're willing to do it. Then when you apply it, then the transformation will happen and you'll get profit. But if you don't apply it, then you just talk about it, that I should have it, then how will that happen? Who sits around and talks about it? That's for the common person. And why does the common person make any profit at all? Because there are those in the field of economics, those in the field of administration, those in the field of knowledge who have that drive to make profit. And they engage those general persons in work. And if you don't put in the work, you don't get paid. Because otherwise, if it went by how we looked at it, no one would make anything, you know, factually, you know. So the whole point is it's work. Sitting, you know, now it's the popular thing is that you like committee meetings, sit around in that, talk, that the meeting went okay, there was a good feeling, there was a common kind of ground, you know, and nobody killed each other. That's considered serious profit. And then, okay, but that was the only profit. You go out of that meeting, nothing happens because no one's going to do anything, because it's not about doing anything, it's about having a meeting. But in the meeting, they'll talk about, you know, profit and, you know, security and all these different things, and wouldn't that be great, and wouldn't that be nice, and, you know, all kinds of jazz like that. You know, but it's not along the line of, you know, when will the high court judges all be wearing tilak? It's not along the line of that kind of idea. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
When you use the word profit in the Vedic sense or in the sense of what Baladeva Vijayabhushana is talking about here, does it always mean money and things like that?
It means whatever you want.
Because to me, just in my own personal life, right, to me it's very profitable that I'm not truck driving anymore. I'm very, very happy I'm not
but
truck driving.
That's the whole point, is that you gain in happiness. The point is profit means that you're getting...
Okay, so the happiness is profit. When you're
yes,
talking,
happiness...
When you're talking about the word profit, you're talking about... Yeah,
okay. Yeah, but nowadays most people talk about money,
right,
but they're in anxiety. You know what I'm saying? Very few join this movement as an artarti. Generally, most join as arta.
Right.
Right? That there's an anxiety, there's a lack in their life, there's something missing that they can't pinpoint. It's not that they're going, you know, what's missing in my life is pure devotional service, and so who's got it? And hey, it looks like Bhaktivedanta Swami's got something happening here. He talks about pure devotion, so let me check these guys out. You know? It's generally, I'm in anxiety, I'm not happy, I'm not satisfied, so I look for something. Because most aren't looking for money and this and that. You know, they're looking for something else. So then, and some will be, you know, jigyasu, it looks interesting, they can answer some interesting questions and stuff like that, but there won't be that many either. You know, that's their main thing. So here profit means is whatever is important to you. It means just like you want knowledge, then you have to study. You have to put in the time, focus, analyze, remember, contemplate. Then you get profit in knowledge. You put in the effort that there's transformation of the energy in the way of facility and things and that, then that will be that kind of profit. You put in the effort for the emotional like that, then you get the profit. Right? Because for you to get the profit, you're not driving a truck, means you have to think, is I don't need the money from driving the truck.
Yeah, of course.
So that means there's an effort. And so you're getting the result. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. The word profit is
correct. It's just a general thing, because that's why he uses the word success.
Success, yes.
Because it just means it can cover all. But nowadays most are talking about, you know,
right,
like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
How do we understand what you're saying, and also consider that what we're getting in this lifetime is based on our activities, highest and highest from the previous life?
Because you have to get it. Just like you have money in the bank, but if you sit there in your bedroom texting, you get the money.
Well, say we were very impious in the last lifetime.
Yeah. But you'll have something somewhere. You know, hence the, how do you say it? The, what do you call it? The cliche of the blonde bimbo. They have piety in the way of physical beauty, but on the subtle platform, there is no beauty.
Not such accounts in Bhagavad
Gita.
There are several types of accounts in Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, that means the point is it's anywhere. So somebody has beauty but doesn't have intelligence, or they have intelligence but not beauty, or somebody has wealth and doesn't have those two, or has, you know, any combination, or has influence. So any of the six opulences we see is that, like these great personages like Yudhishthira Maharaj and Pallad, they have all six like that. But otherwise, these are the areas that it comes in. Does that make sense? So somebody has something in one area, somebody in another area. So that's why it's very individual.
We have to use our area of
opulence. In Krishna's service.
In Krishna's service.
Yeah, or an area that you wish you had in Krishna's service.
Okay, but even for the karma, you know, does that still apply? Like, if I use my area of opulence, then I can, even if I was...
But that's for the future. The point is what you have now is coming from the past. When you're working now, when are you going to get that profit? In the future. So whatever is going to come from the past, that's already set. But what you're going to get in the future, that's what you can work on now. That's where the confusion comes. Because it says, I'm just getting one of the past, why do I have to work? Because at some point it runs out. So that's why you work to continue it, right? Now, for the pious person, they're continuing because they want the material facility, the karmis. The jnanis are working because they want liberation. The devotees are working because they want to please Krishna.
So the profit can happen in this lifetime. It's not only
going to come in the future. The point is that's not what we worry about. But if you're worried about it, then yes.
Well, I'm trying to understand the principle.
The principle is what you're getting right now came from the past. Here, the example is this. This week, you're going to work, Monday to Friday, right? But you're also paying bills and eating and doing stuff. How are you doing that? Because they won't pay you till the end of the week. So where does this week's money come from? Last week.
Right.
But if you don't work this week, next week you won't have any money. You understand? So it's an overlay. So the point is perform your duties. Why? Because the actual point is the duties are supposed to be done in connection with Krishna. So it's about devotional service. So doing devotional service, then there must be a form. Just like if we're saying it's the Lord's pastime. Right? So does that mean that everybody does the same thing? You know, everybody steals Madhu Mangal's lunch and tosses it around. How will they do that? 1,000 coward boys grabbing one, you know, lunch bag at one time. What's going to happen? Is that going to be fun? Is that what the Goswamis will write that down in their literatures? You know, a brawl of 1,000 coward boys fighting over Madhu Mangal's lunch. You understand? So the whole point is everybody does their part. It comes out perfect. You have a drama, everyone does their part. And what does that part mean? Right? This is the fun part. Let us just take, for example, let's just take this into a mechanical viewpoint. You have actors, okay? What are actors all about? Right? It's all about expression and feelings and, you know, just like that, right? Yes? No? Okay. Just not getting much response here. Okay. So, now, it's all about emotion, but where are they supposed to stand? Anywhere they like? No, they got an exact place they're supposed to stand. It's called blocking. Unless you're here, this one's here, and that, you can't upstage, you can't this, that, you can't. It's got to, like that. Then what lines can they say? Can they say anything they want? You know? No, they have to say exact things. And what about the time? Everything. Everything's exact. And so here's something so exact for individuals who it's all about their freedom. And when that drama goes right and everybody does everything that they're supposed to exactly, then both the audience, the actors themselves, the director, everybody is really very satisfied. Does that make sense? So, is that reality? You know what I'm saying? Somebody's there as King Lear, right? Is that reality? You know what I'm saying? No. It means you come up with stories like that by hearing so many stories from the grandmother and like that. You take 5, 10 different families, put all their stories together in one person, then you get Lear. You know, or Macbeth, or anything like that. Because if you took what happens in one family, it's not going to happen. You have to take what happens in hundreds of families and then put it into one family. Then you get something. Right? So as far as reality goes, do those things happen? Yes. They're just taking from that. Right? But the whole point is it's not real. Is that happening to those actors? You know what I'm saying? Lear's what, 50, 60 years old, like that? I had a friend, he played the part when he was 20, successfully. Generally, it never happens. So how real is that? You know what I'm saying? So the whole idea is that it's not real, but the experience they gain from it, the satisfaction they gain from it, is real. So in Krishna's pastimes, everybody plays their part, and the experience they get is real. You understand? That God is the origin. Can anybody be his mother? No. But the part is played. The experience is real. You know? Friends means you're equal. Is anybody equal to? He's Asamurdva. No one's equal, no one's greater. You know what I'm saying? If Krishna's dealing with the young gopis appropriately, he has to deal with them as if they're in a senior position if you want to be successful. Right? Is that reality? No. Everybody's his servant. Okay. Then you can say you're starting to talk more the thing, but we're 1/10,000, the tip of the hairy is unlimited. What's the reality of that service? We can appreciate. We can appreciate, but how much can we appreciate? Hardly anything. So in reality, then the rasas and all that on one level are not real as far as mechanics go. You know, means that the facts go. You know, today's thing of truth, you know, it doesn't work. But the actual point is it's not about what you have, it's about what experience you gain from it. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You know, it's just like, let's say you have, you know, you finally got yourself, you know, one of those Ferraris, what's that thing, what is it, the F12 or something like that, or, you know, you got yourself something. But, you know, the only thing that you have to do with it is drive into the outback in Australia, you know, to do something over all dirt roads. And the only thing out there is kangaroos. Now, are you going to get the satisfaction that you were, you know, expecting from this Ferrari? No, it's only when you drive up to some place or when all the guys are sitting around taking pictures of the cars that's sitting on the curb, and then you come up and then you push the little button and it goes beep, beep, you know, like that, and then you get in and all the guys going, whoa. That's the moment. That's why they buy it. Because as far as reality, you know, it takes to drive around in the city, it needs is you only need one horse. You know, and if you want a carriage, okay, two horses, four horses. You don't need 865 horses. You know what I'm saying? You don't need. You know what I'm saying? You can get around the town on a bicycle and probably quicker. You know, it's probably quicker to get around New York on a bicycle than it will be in that Ferrari. You know, okay, you go out at 2 in the morning, maybe you'll get somewhere. But, you know, who's going to see? Right?
Well, if you pull up to the proper club.
That's the proper club. You have the proper person sitting in the seat next to you. I mean, it's all those things. But that's the point, is you have to get that. That's what they're looking for. So the reality of that car and the position, it's not there. So actually, the whole position of being materially successful, its only satisfaction is that others who are not successful think that you are happy. Like that. Yeah. Like that. Didn't you say that? Somebody said that. Some rich person. That's the only satisfaction you get. Because in reality, they're not happy. But the happiness is there that others think they must be happy. Okay? So we get what we're happening here? So, therefore, what we're saying, it's not about what's going on. It's that everybody's playing their role in the interaction. That's where people get their satisfaction. That's the whole thing. It's not what they're doing mechanically. It's not that they're successful. It's that people are playing their roles and it's going like this. So, therefore, for these emotional things to happen, there's a mechanics of emotion. What emotions go with what work goes with what results and all this. Because it's Krishna's energy. It's the way it is. We can't create it like, we can't say, no, it should be like this. It's not like that. It's just like all those guys sitting in the pub. Can any of them even kick a ball? But they can sit there and tell exactly what, you know, all these professional guys should be doing. Right? You know, he's spending money to watch them play football. Those guys are making millions to play football. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. We can think that, oh, wait, the energy should be like this. It should be like that. But it's not. It's already said exactly what it does. Right? You go to the machine that has soft drinks, put in your coin, push the button. You won't get a sandwich. But it would be really nice if I get the drink and the sandwich. It's not going to happen. Does that make sense? So, therefore, what we're getting down to, this is all preliminary, that Krishna's pastimes, then there's the mechanics of how, on the body, mind, and words, that the compatibility of those interactions go together. There's mechanics. You follow them. Everything turns out perfectly. Now, because it's only about Krishna's satisfaction, therefore everybody does it naturally. Those that have that pure love, their spontaneous love is what establishes the rules and regulations in the all the other realms. What Mother Yashoda does, that establishes the rules for everybody else. What the gopis do, what the cowherd boys do, all the different relations are established by them because of their pure love. So it naturally follows the expression of that love, the forms, the activities, the results, it all naturally follows. That's documented for us as Varnashram, right, in the Vedic literatures. So all it says, you follow this, you will get this result. We'll say, oh, well, that's for the karmis. Therefore, I'm a devotee. I can make up my own results. No, that's not the way it goes. Demons make up their own idea. And that's the unsuccessful ones. The successful ones follow the rules. Does that make sense? So, does this make any sense where we're getting here? Is that the pastimes have been created for the Lord's pleasure. And there's rules to how you do it. That's why they're there. And so you comes down here, you can follow those rules to please Krishna, which is the original intent of all that form, or you can do it to get liberated, or you can do it to make material profit. Now, on devotional service, they are transcendentally situated, so they already have liberation, and they're already getting the physical results and emotional results from those activities, but they're for Krishna. So the devotee automatically, that's what he's saying, gets, as byproduct, liberation and material success. Because that's just, they're working with the Lord's energy properly. Does that work?
I understand what you're saying. I think this is bringing up more questions.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I have heard from devotees that demons get their prosperity from Alakshmi.
Alakshmi.
Alakshmi is the wife of Kali. What
gets their prosperity from Alakshmi?
Alakshmi, yes. So
the word after Alakshmi is Nashayam Yaham, which means that she destroys everything. So, if you have money, is that Lakshmi or Alakshmi?
Lakshmi.
Right? They have a nice house. Is that Lakshmi or Alakshmi?
Sure, Lakshmi.
Right? They have a nice car. They have a nice suit.
I would like to.
So the point is it has to be Lakshmi. Mm-hmm. The point is they have performed the proper activities that are prescribed in previous lives. And even if you check, many of them, they follow it now. Let's say we take rich, successful people who are, stable in that, right? From that social class, okay? Do they show up on time to a meeting? Do they dress properly at the meeting? Do they speak appropriately at the meeting? Do they follow the etiquettes when they deal with everybody else in the meeting according to their status? If in that meeting something's decided that they should do something, do they do it? Are they responsible? You understand? So what are they doing wrong? So that, therefore, it's Alakshmi that gives them. No, they're doing all the work, but as we mentioned, they're only looking at it materially. And so because they follow it exactly, they get that result. And the common person, what's the big deal if we're late? Oh, what does it matter? I spoke my mind, I feel good about it. Okay, I lost the deal, but, I felt good telling the guy what I thought about it, Like that, So then that's they're getting what they want from it. But the devotee does that to please Krishna, so automatically the material comes and liberation comes. The point is the devotee's not worried about profit. He's just worried about serving Krishna. But the point is you do your prescribed duty to please Krishna. Profit's just a byproduct. Success is a byproduct. So for the devotee, he gets success and he's not looking for it. But for the devotee who's mixed devotional service, he wants success, it's still the same process. Therefore, try to do your duties to please Krishna. Even though it may be mixed, you want the result and the result for Krishna, but nothing changes. That's why for us, the neophyte devotee, the Uttamadhikari, the totally materialistic devotee, the completely pure devotee, there's no difference in the process. There's only one process that works for everybody. This idea is, okay, that's great for, you know, your temple devotee or that, you want to preach, okay, you know, we understand that, you know, there's always going to be a few weirdos. But, you know, we're just being realistic and stuff like that. We're just, you know, I say salt of the earth or whatever it is like that. And but, of course, it's low sodium, so they don't even have the salt. So what do they have? What do you get? You know, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Money's the honey, but you know, but as long as it's raw and honey, and it's like, you know, this and that and stuff like that, and you know,
they try to get one thing.
Yeah, they're always thinking about one thing. That's what my mother always says, men have one track minds. Yeah. Huh? In all languages, it's a common saying amongst the women. Okay.
Grandmothers.
The grandmothers. Okay. So, what? Yeah. Okay. No?
So two people are seemingly doing the same activities but getting different results.
Yes.
Does that mean, you know, back to your metaphor of the actors on the stage, does that mean that they're trying to stand in the same spot and play the same character, and that really they
can be, or they're not playing the role very well?
Okay.
You know, it's like that, you know, it's like, how you say? You know, I don't even know what they call it anymore, but, you know, you have this school program and all the third graders are doing a program and all the parents are there and they're doing an acting thing, and it's, you know, it's the Christmas drama, and, you know, and your child happens to be the third lobster in the, you know, in the, what do you call it, the nativity play, you know, like that. Okay? So, are they great actors? No. But everybody's happy just because of, you know, they do what they do. You know what I'm saying? But when they get bigger and think that they're great actors, but they only have that much ability, then there's a problem. Because that's why attitude is very, very important. Does that make sense? So it's a very sophisticated thing if we get into it. Someone's getting better, because Prabhupada points out it's the sanction of the Lord. Krishna's telling Nanda Baba that you do your work. They're saying, no, but you do your work, the demigods give the results. But it has to be sanctioned by the Supreme. So that's why two people with the same thing, one gets a good result, one doesn't. Same operation, somebody lives, somebody dies. Same doctor, same skill. Like that, because there's the sanction of the Lord. So that's why ultimately is that we can look at all the mechanics in the material world, but ultimately it's up to the Lord to sanction it. What's the background of it? We don't know. We don't know what we've done in previous lives and whether we deserve to get anything. We do the work, but you know what? You know, if we have from previous life that we're not supposed to get it, will we get it? I'm attached to money, but last life I was attached to money and I didn't deal with it properly. I wasted it. So this life, I'm still attached to money. That will come through. But my having money won't be there. So even I put in all the effort, I won't necessarily get it. But if I change my attitude where I start to respect money, I will have money in the future. You know, that's why Prabhupada makes the point. You have these people living on the street. Very austere. Now, why are they living on the street? Because they've wasted their facilities in previous lifetimes. That's why they're living on the street. But from the austerity of living on the street, that means they'll come back into the normal economic position in the future. Because it's very austere to live on the street. Right? Does that make sense? So, same with the animals. By the austerity of being an animal, that's what elevates them back up to the as humans and on and beyond. That's why you see from bottom you're generally going up. Right? So those who are coming up, then they generally keep going up until they become too proud that they're so special, then they start going down. So the skill is there, but then there's the attitude. That's why focus. Focus includes the attitude. Generally, it's not discussed. Right? People just say, okay, here's the knowledge, here's the skill, you mechanically apply it, you will get the result. But if you don't have the right attitude, you still won't get the result. So the main point that's being brought out here is if you're engaged in devotional service, it covers all this other stuff. You don't have to worry. There's no separate need to discuss these others because you want a good result for Krishna. So therefore, what you're discussing is how to get the best result for Krishna. You don't have to separately discuss how to get the good result. Does that make sense? So that's why for those interested in pure devotional service, worrying about material success is not important. It will come anyway. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but we also see those that are pleasing the Lord, but they don't have... Well, I guess it does make sense.
But the point is but what do you want? See, what results will come, that's up to the Lord. Because the point is what's going to be good for him or not. What was it? I think in the battle at Kurukshetra, right? Then you had Karna has the Shakti weapon from Indra, and his idea is to use it to kill Arjuna. And he's the only one that actually could, right? Then Ghatotkacha, then he is performing his pastimes, and because on that day they didn't stop like they normally should at the sunset, they were just so absorbed, they went into the night, right? And going into the night means those who are human, they have a little less power, because that's not their thing, nighttime, right? But the Rakshasas, night's their time. So he becomes more and more powerful. So he destroys like one Akshauhini, I think. No, he landed on one. But he was if they didn't kill him, he would have wiped out the army that night. Right? So then they don't know what to do, and so then they go to Karna and say he has to kill him, so he uses the Shakti weapon, but because it can only be used once, then they'll go back to Indra. Right? Then he kills Ghatotkacha. Now Ghatotkacha is Bhima's son. You know, he's really dedicated warrior, great warrior. So everybody on the Pandava's side is very sad. But Krishna's got a big grin on his face. And they're all looking at him as, isn't this an inappropriate mood, right? You know, Bhima's son's just died and this and that but he's got this big smile on his face. And he asks, what are you smiling about? He says, now Karna can't kill Arjuna. So that's the whole point. There's things that Krishna knows that we don't know, that you have somebody who's very, very absorbed and very nice devotee and materially things aren't going right for him. But, and we're saying, but is this right? But the point is they're advanced in devotional service. Isn't that the whole point? So that situation, they're advancing. Someone else in that situation wouldn't advance. That's why they can't do it. If you had emperorship over the whole world and then lost it in a dice game where you were an idiot, how well would you do? Would you sit out there and religiously do everything, worry about the Brahmins, perform your austerities, continue your duties and training as a Kshatriya and your, martial arts? Would you do that? Or you'd be down, drowning your sorrows in a bottle somewhere. You understand? Because that's, at least in the modern context, that's when you have that much and you lose it, they're the village drunk. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, who could be committed to being that drunk, unless, they had a real, purpose? Your average guy couldn't be able to do that. So that's the whole point, is that they continue on. That's their glory. So the point being is that whether you have something or don't, you can do devotional service. Because the real profit of devotional service, as pointed out, but its proper nature is pure spiritual ecstasy. So bringing you to the platform of bhava is the real nature of pure devotional service, not liberation and material success. So that someone can come to that platform, then we see it works really nice. So we see is that those who are actually on that platform of that, they don't really care if they have anything or not. They have something, they use it. Like Sudama Brahman, he had nothing, he doesn't care. He has more wealth than Indra. He's not impressed by the wealth. It just means now he can do nice things for Krishna. He can make a better offering. Right? Before the little chip dries, now he can do something nicer. So that's the whole point, is the mentality doesn't change. That's the real success, because that will bring you to the pure spiritual ecstasy. But the material, those things, they're there, not there. It means, in other words, everybody advanced. They all had so much material facility and everything went so smoothly for them. Why would people join this movement? For pure devotional service? Or just to become wealthy and stuff? So in other words, we join as Artha Artharthi Jigyasu. But we shouldn't remain that way. We should move on to the Madhyama platform. That's stable. Then we can be absorbed in devotional service. Then we're engaging our nature in Krishna's service. There may be some interest in that, some attachment to that, but it's very minimal. Right? It's only 25% of what we had before. And so then, that will go with time. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
I just want to mention in this regard that Prabhupada was... There's one thing that Prabhupada's pastimes are very instructive to us.
Yes.
And the thing is we have to remember how much he went through.
Yes.
What appeared to be material failure.
Yes.
Again,
yes.
And again,
yes.
And again, yes. And again, yes. And again, and again. And then when he became successful, on his hands and knees, tending to drug-addicted hippies in the Lower East Side, and who would have thought,
Who would have thought these guys, right?
So the thing is, there's a mysterious element to this that is profound.
Yes, yes, that's the whole thing. So, because if it was about material success, why didn't Prabhupada try harder on the Upper West Side? Because who is coming to that yoga studio? All the rich, well-established people. But he left that for, these, the Bowery bums, like that. Because it was about pure devotional service. Is that right?
He could see that even though they were coming and listening, they weren't going to really take it up.
No.
Who were going to take it up.
They were, in other words, they're pious. It's only interest's sake. Something different, something unique. That's. But the point is how serious they're going to be.
Right.
So that's that's why this Vanika Vox Populi is overrated.
Right.
Like that.
Can you say that the proper perspective on that would be that two people performing the same mechanical activity, but if it's connected to devotional service, then the tangible results would be different? Because Krishna is a person, he deals...
That can be there also. The point is he's a person, he's dealing with us as a person. So that's why there may be a difference. Because we have what we want to get from it, but what we want and what's actually good for us are not necessarily the same thing. You know what I'm saying? So... It's a matter of what's going to be best for our advancement devotional service. So in the long run, we may see it's wonderful. Because right? It's like you have the whole history before the Pandavas. You're covering, a long time. And then you get down to the Pandavas. And then, their position of... success, comes up very quick from when they the Swayamvara Draupadi until Indraprastha was happening. I think that's just a couple of chapters, right? the Swayamvara with Draupadi, then the anxiety about, you know, who they are, then the wedding like that, and then Krishna and everybody coming because now they're out of that 1 year, you know, kind of in hiding. And then, you know, coming back and then getting the other half of the kingdom, but, you know, the bad half, and then going, and then Maya Dhanava and everything, and Indra, and all those making all those things. There's only a few chapters. Then you have the gambling match, and then you have a huge amount of chapters while they're in the forest. Like that, you know. And then that goes up to the point, and then there's the war. And then after the war, then there's also, you know, a very short time they have of the prosperity, they're running everything, and then they head to the forest. You know, so most of the discussion of Mahabharata is the Pandavas in the forest, or, you know, the war. So it's about Krishna as a person interacting with the devotee as a person. That's the whole point. So if we're happy when things aren't good, then why won't they be happy more? That was Karna's point to, I think it was Karna's point. Yeah, because Shakuni and Duryodhana, they always come up with some devious plans. And so they had some plans that somehow or another distract Draupadi with all the wealth and opulence and this and that. And that way then she'll leave the Pandavas. And so then Karna pointed out is no, she committed herself to the Pandavas when they had nothing. When they were just these wandering Brahmins. So therefore that's the baseline. So having more facilities not going to, it's not that she came in, they were the emperors of the world, and then they lost it, and now you could possibly distract her by the wealth. She came in when there was nothing. You understand? So that's the whole point, is the devotee is committed to devotional service whether he has anything or not. So if that's appreciated, then and that one is there, then you won't, then you'll always be happy. So in other words, if you take doing devotional service and the experience that comes from devotional service is what you appreciate, then whether there's material facility or not, you won't get distracted. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why letting it go into, it's about material facility and success, that's not there. You see, you have a community where people are successful, then as a community of devotees, they're still successful. And if you have a community where they're not successful materially, even you make a community out of them, on their own terms, they'll still be unsuccessful.
Material success defined as social, political,
economic. What? Yes, whatever. It's just they won't be any better. The point is the only thing that can improve is devotional service because it's the basis of piety. In other words, what pleases Krishna in the mood, in the knowledge, in the activities, and the results, that's what's defined as pious. What doesn't please Krishna, that's what's called impious. Right? Now, for those who aren't devotees, now, the whole point is then you have, since one activity, you can get karma, jnana, or bhakti out of it, then wouldn't it be the natural thing is that the position of bhakti would be the platform on which karmas and jnanas would also function. But they're not looking at Krishna's pleasure, they're looking at their own pleasure. Because they're looking at the knowledge, the attitude, the endeavor, and the results for themselves. Bhakti means that same thing for Krishna. The material means the same thing for myself. So that means the nature of the Lord's energy doesn't change. The results it generates doesn't change. It's not by you're in different places on the planet or the universe and the results are different. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
I've been explained by my guardians what my situation is, that if I practice devotional service, material income comes, but as soon as I start to focus on material, it goes away.
Yes.
So as long as I practice in devotional life, actually that material success is there. But as soon as my head starts to spin around that, it's gone.
Gone away. Yes. Yes. So just focus on devotional service, and these other things come as byproducts. You don't have to worry about it. Right? Devotees aren't starving. In fact, most of the things you offer them to eat, they won't eat them because that is, as far as the, you know. So.
Maharaj, how to build up the faith that you really can affect that devotional service is to be the focus, or that everything will come by devotional service? Because most of the time when different devotees ask, how do you get this or that, and you say by Krishna's mercy, it's like, no.
Because they don't know. See, it's not that you're just saying, see, there's the point of, you can't just say it's Krishna's mercy and you don't perform your duty and don't perform the activity. Right? So if you say no, you have to work, that's because you're addressing a situation where the person thinks, I won't do anything and I'll get whatever. But the point is devotional service means taking your nature, engaging in Krishna's service. Right? That's what it means. So let's say someone's a grihastha, they have to have an occupation. But that occupation could be full-time devotional service. But that's what you do, and then from that, you'll be maintained. Does that make sense? So the point is, according to nature, then you engage in an activity. But if you just say, "Oh, I'll do nothing, and everything will come," yes, whatever you deserve will come. So if you do nothing and a whole lot comes, great. And if you do nothing and nothing comes, then there's not a whole lot there in the piety, you know. Yes, sir. Of course, but that's called duality. When we think in duality, that is the obstacle. When we see as no, everything is Krishna, it's all connected to Krishna, that's when the problems go away. So the point is it's by association. When we associate with the acharyas, we hear what they have to say and make that the focus, then that's the thing. And then we sit and discuss how to make that practical in our life. But if devotees sit around and talk about how to materially be successful, and that's their focus, then good luck with being, how many of those people who sit around and talk about success are successful? Because I think one of the, you know, what is it now, we're up to 8 points of successful people? Or 8 habits? You know, none of them are sitting around and talking and doing nothing. Like that. I don't think it's one of the 8 points, right? No. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point, is people can talk, and they, you know, and that's why he said talk is cheap. Right? It doesn't get you anything. But talking about what the acharyas are saying, now that's valuable. That's priceless, not even expensive. Is that okay?
Success books is when the guy from California says to the guy from Petrozavodsk to get out of his comfort zone.
When the guy from California gets out of his comfort zone?
No, he tells the guy from Petrozavodsk, who is somewhere in Russia in the Gulf.
Oh, okay, okay.
Get out of his comfort zone. Because he's
okay.
Comfort zone.
Yeah. Okay. He's like, take off his hat and do some work or something. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
About the point from before, illusion here, illusion there. Can be said illusion here does not make us happy and illusion there makes us happy?
Yes. It means illusion here makes you think you're happy, while illusion there you actually are happy. Because that's what it says, pure spiritual ecstasy. You know, because they are on the transcendental platform, they are happy. Yes. While here, there's the idea. Prahlad Maharaj gives the term Shruti Sukhat. Shruti means hear. They heard about happiness. Yeah. You know, we hear about, yeah, we'll go here, we'll do this, we'll do that. And, you know, at that time, everybody's in ecstasy. But when they actually go and do it, You know, then there's the cliche where one friend turns to the other, are we happy yet?
Although the illusion continues, but the flavor changes.
Here?
No, by going there.
Yes, but the point is that's yoga maya. Here it's just maha maya. Because there it's in connection with Krishna. The point is because Krishna's happy, that's why we're happy. Here is Krishna's not happy, so how will we ever be happy? So you follow his rules and regulations, at least to acknowledge that much of Krishna. So then he's satisfied to that degree. But he mentions that, or Lakshmi mentions, that to maintain this material creation, oh, Krishna says it also, it's a spark of his splendor, that's all. When he says spark, he literally means a spark. Then the Lakshmi Devi, she says, one place says a millionth of a millionth portion or a billionth of a billionth portion. You know, the potency to run the spiritual world, you take that, divide that by a billion, take one of those parts and divide that by a billion. That's how much energy Krishna expends on the whole material creation, the whole thing. So that's the whole, unlimited universes. Then there's this universe of 14 planetary systems. Then one of those, Bhumandala, and then we're on, what did we figure it out?
One ninth of the smallest island.
Yeah. Bhumandala. A ninth of a ninth of a seventh. Yeah, so, you know, so like a, it's you know, 1/300 something or something. So it's something ridiculous. And so, and then that's the whole thing, and then we're just in our little place, so how much potency does it take to maintain it? So even if you follow the rules nicely and you get the results of following that rule, then the amount of happiness you can get from it is so limited. Because you're only connecting yourself with Krishna's mechanical aspect there, and the amount of energy he puts into these mechanics is so small. But in the spiritual world there, then the volume of potency is unlimited, so the happiness that the living entity can gain is unlimited. So when they're saying that the happiness gained here is only compared to like a drop compared to the ocean of happiness of liberation, they're not exaggerating. And then when you say that the liberation, then that's just like a drop or a fraction of a portion of a drop, Rupa Goswami says, to the unlimited, shoreless ocean of bhakti. Because they're saying it's like an ocean means an ocean that you know here. You know, it's big, but it's, you know, so a drop compared to an ocean here is big. But we're saying there, the spiritual, it's an unlimited ocean.
The drop in the world.
So it's not exaggeration. We're not just saying this just to get people fired up. You know, we're not talking about, you know, what is it? The embroidered couches and I don't know what we're up to now in virgins these days. But, you know, it was a lot less before. But, you know, in recent times, people weren't willing to work that or kill themselves over that. So they've upped the inflation. So they upped the, you know, so therefore it's not... it's not exaggeration. That's why Shastra says that, I mean, the tenth of, one of the offenses to the holy name is to think the glories of the holy name are exaggeration. No, it actually is like that. What's exaggerated is how you can be happy and satisfy the material world. Now that's an exaggeration. That's in some sense. Yeah. Okay. So end here.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Prema Nandi.